This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking a lot of college football. Dogs have a big one against Texas this upcoming weekend. And Seth Emerson is here. He covers the Dogs, writes about the SEC for The Athletic. We love his stuff. And Seth, thanks for jumping on with us. Mike and I were talking first and foremost about this move of the Georgia Tech-Georgia game. Again, 1 year. But a lot of fans are hitting us up. We asked them if they like this idea. Tech fans saying not so much because it takes away from their season tickets. It's not included with that. But I think it's a good idea. How do you feel about this?
I think Georgia loves the idea. I mean, Mercedes-Benz is kind of a second home. It's not kind of. It is a second home for them. And potentially next year, now getting to the SEC championship is harder than it used to be in a 16-team league without divisions. But this is potentially setting up Georgia to play Mercedes-Benz twice in a row. So they love it. And obviously it's, you know, I'm sure JBAT and Georgia Tech have looked at the finances of it and the finances to make it work, to make it worth it. I'd be curious to give Brett Key some truth serum to see what he thinks of it. You know, he'll probably say, you know, the right thing publicly. This will help us with revenue sharing coming. This will help us with NIL, et cetera, et cetera. But man, coaches want to win. And the timing of this is what sticks out to me, because I had thought that the Georgia Tech rivalry was getting really not even stale, but like just nothing, to the point where you wondered if Georgia would continue it or Georgia Tech would want to continue it. And then last year, that game was great. You know, Georgia Tech was as competitive as they've been with them since 2016. It was a pretty good atmosphere. It helped that it was a night game at Bobby Dodd Stadium. But, you know, there were a lot of Georgia Tech fans. It wasn't Georgia fans taking it over. And so to sell the next one, the very next home game with Georgia, I guess they really needed the money.
It is Seth Emerson now. Normally his beat is Athens, but we're talking about the flats today. And it just seems like, you know, Brent Key is on point in the, I said to Coral last segment, that when O'Leary was able to beat, you know, inferior dog coaches. Now, Kirby is not that guy, to your point. They're 12-2 is Georgia in the last 14 of these games. But do you think that Brent Key can, now, a huge game for them against Notre Dame, but do you like the way things are going? The money seems to be the big thing, the big money boosters coming in to support the program.
Yeah, I don't know too much about exactly what's going on with the big money boosters. The last time I really checked in on Georgia Tech was summer of last year. I did a story on their kind of realignment situation, and I know the concern about whether they'd be get you know, kind of just left behind. I assume that they are like they're going to be willing to do what it takes probably to keep Clemson and Florida State in that league so that the ACC doesn't fall apart. Because they're better off there rather than, I don't know if they would be picked up by, you know, if it becomes just the SEC and the Big Ten picking up, you know, the North Carolinas and Virginia Techs and, you know, whoever from the ACC. But on the field, Brick, he looks like he's doing the right thing. I mean, you just the fact that they were as competitive as they were with Georgia, and, you know, they've had some good wins and, yeah, we'll see how Notre Dame goes, but they seem to be going in the right direction. It was, you know, Jeff Collins had a way of doing it, and it really didn't work. Brett Key is definitely doing it kind of the opposite way of just no frills, just let's show you some good football, and so far it's working.
Let's talk about this Georgia team. Seth, what do you think is wrong, and why are they not operating at an optimal level? I mean, we know this, even though they're 5-1. A lot of people feel like this doesn't feel right.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple ways to look at it. One is that, and I wrote this in my SEC Vibes column on Sunday morning, they have not, in their last three wins, they have not covered the spread. So they've been less than impressive, you know, Kentucky, Auburn, Mississippi State. But, you know, Kentucky, that just was kind of a tough game, all right? And they did not play well, but you win your clunkers. That's the mantra, kind of like the Missouri game 2 years ago. Auburn, I mean, they won that game 31-13. You never thought they were going to lose. Never thought Georgia was in any real danger. And Auburn looks like a competent team if it doesn't turn the ball over, which it didn't against Georgia. So an 18-point home win against Auburn may not be anything to really worry about. And then the Mississippi State game, you know, if you look at the final score, you go, oh, you know, only beat Mississippi State by 10. But, like, Georgia was up 34-10. And then just kind of, I think they probably mentally took their foot off the gas. And, you know, Mississippi State played Texas the week before and was actually closer at halftime than Mississippi State was to Georgia. So I just, you know, we'll see about that. I mean, we really don't know the real Georgia. Like, have they played a complete game other than Tennessee Tech? No. I mean, the Clemson one is the one that looks the best on paper at the final score, but it was, you know, 6-0 at the half.
Right.
It was the second half when they exploded. If they play the way they did the second half against Alabama, they're going to win the national championship. But if they play the way they did in the first half, they're going to go 8-4 and not even make the playoffs. So we don't know. I think we'll know a lot. I think if Georgia plays a really competitive game on Saturday, even if they lose and it's a close game, I think you have to feel good about them going down the stretch. But a loss is still a loss, and that really reduces their margin for error as far as making the playoff and probably eliminates them from SEC championship game consideration.
Seth Emerson's with us, guys, talking about the Dogs in the biggest game of the year in Austin. In the trenches, Carl's talked about it. I mentioned, you know, the injuries and the offensive line guys out of position. And then the game plan. Is a shootout and just throwing it around all day, is that going to be what they're going to do? Or do you like to see them run a little bit more under Bobo?
You know, I think without Colby Young and without Ra-Ra Thomas over the summer, losing him too, they don't really have an X receiver, that outside receiver guy. And I still think they have good receivers. They're more speedy guys. They're more slot, split end, flanker type guys. And they might need to embrace that. And you might need to play a different way. Almost I won't say like a Tennessee Ole Miss type offense, but, you know, spread out and use the pass to set up the run. You've got two dynamic tailbacks in Nate Frazier and Trevor Etienne who specialize in, you know, kind of the more speed rather than the bruising of Branson Robinson, who's injured now. Mike Bobo tends to, over the years, when you look at him, to fit his play calls and his system to what the talent says. You know, 2011, 12, 13, they were more of a throwing team because, you know, Aaron Murray and those receivers and Malcolm Mitchell and company, they were that was their specialty. 2014, when they had Gurley, Chubb, Michelle, they ran it a lot and had the highest scoring offense in school history. And if you also look at Bobo's track record, whether it was last year at Georgia or those last 4 years in his first stint, 2011, 2014, they get better as the year goes on. Last half of the season, they are humming as an offense. So it could be a case here of he's kind of figured out, all right, this is who we are. And I think you might see more of that kind of spread it out, pass to set up the run, consistent downfield attack. But, they still want to run the ball. I don't know if you're trying to shorten the game against Texas or even really worry about that too much. Texas has a really good offense and really good passing game. Georgia has a really good offense and passing game. So they're similar in that way, although Georgia may be better at running back.
How do you assess Carson Beck's season? He's been great at times, not so great at other times. Like, that's how I visualize him and watching these first, six games. How do you see him?
Yeah, I mean, inconsistent, but really good when he was good. But like looking at his numbers, I don't have them in front of me, but he might end up with more passing yards than last year, but he already has two games of multiple interceptions, and he had zero of those last year. He never threw more than one in a game. Just some stuff to work on. He hasn't had Bowers. And McConkie is kind of that safety valve, although he didn't have McConkie for like most of the first half of last year either, and then he didn't have Bowers for three regular season games and had him only a limited basis in the SEC championship. Like I think it's a little overrated. I keep hearing this, lazy narrative that Georgia just doesn't have the receivers and tight ends that they had. I mean, yeah, they don't have a first round pick like they did last year, and they don't have a five star, but They are third in the nation, not the SEC, the nation, in pass plays of 20 and 30 plus yards in each. Mm. Who's catching those balls? Like, they're receivers. They're tight ends. Like, Lawson Lucky is really good. Mm. They're good. And Carson Beck has done a good job of getting them the ball for those plays a lot of the time. I think the offensive line blocking needs to be more consistent. And Beck has had some times where he hasn't made the right decision or maybe has made a kind of throw that he didn't make last year. And I think he's still been, on the whole, pretty good. But he clearly can be a little better.
We talked a lot of Seth Emerson joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline about the historically good defenses, and that's something that is it just not to, to belabor the point, but you had rock stars. I mean, the like Trayvon Walkers and the Jordan Davises and the Jalen Carters, the guys, half the Eagles team, for instance. Is that just an average defense just makes Georgia just like everybody else in the top 50?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported, 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
15.
Yeah, it's kind of jarring to look at their – stat ranking now in the SEC. They're 12th in defensive yards per play. And they've played some good offenses, especially Alabama. And you know, Mississippi State's kind of an underrated offense. It just, I think they may be kind of catching up to where they should be. But, you know, they've also been inconsistent. Like, they looked like a great shutdown defense against Clemson. And they kept the offense in the game against Kentucky. But they've regressed since then, at least results-wise. I mean, obviously, the first half against Alabama was terrible. But, you know, then they firmed up in the second half. But, you know, and then, you know, they didn't do bad against Auburn. And for a half against Mississippi State, they were fine, too. But in the second half, just kind of slacked off a little bit. And, you know, I think in the secondary, it's not shocking. I mean, they lost three members of the secondary who were all in the NFL, and like Tyke Smith is doing really well there. But I'm not surprised that other teams are running on them, because I wondered about that with the D line, especially up the middle, because that was a, you know, something you wondered about coming off last season too. I am surprised by how teams are doing it. It's more to the edges. If they can firm up on the edges, and it's really about speed and swarm to the ball, then I think they'll be a lot better as a defense, and they'll take their chances with other teams passing on them. That's the Kirby Smart mantra with defenses. We're not going to let you run on us. We're going to make you one-dimensional. And too often, other teams have not had to be one-dimensional because they've been able to run better than Georgia's used to having teams run against them.
Yeah, and I think that's just me, Seth. I think it's personnel. I mean, like, I think to Mike's point, like, you don't have those big stoppers up there, so you're struggling a little bit more than you normally would. Let me ask you this last thing for me. Do both Alabama and Georgia make the playoff? I see these games as elimination games, right? If Georgia loses this weekend, that's two L's. If Alabama loses to Tennessee, that's two L's. There will be a bunch of one-loss teams potentially in front of them. How do you look at that?
I think Alabama and Georgia at 10-2 make the playoff. Tennessee at 10-2, I think, makes the playoff.
Okay.
Because if you play out their schedules, they will have quality wins. If Georgia loses this game, they've already got Clemson as a quality win. Unless they collapse, they could end up winning the ACC. But if they go 10-2 after losing this one Saturday, that means they beat Ole Miss and Tennessee. If Alabama loses on Saturday, but then goes 10-2, they've still got the Georgia game on their resume, unless Georgia classes, obviously. But they'd also end up with a win over LSU and Missouri. I might be forgetting someone else.
But, nope, those are the two ranked teams.
I don't think there are – and if Tennessee loses this game, but they finish 10-2, they end up having a win at Georgia on their resume too.
Right.
So I don't – and I think there's some 9-3 teams that will be in contention, but it's all – guys, you got to look at the big picture. It's not, you can't automatically say it. Like, what if there are some really good teams? Like, Big Ten looks like they got three teams now. And what if Indiana keeps it going,
right,
for instance?
Right.
What if the Big 12 ends up with two teams in there? You know, Iowa State and BYU, yep, and K-State. Like, you know, and Notre Dame. Like, Georgia fans and other SEC fans should probably root for Georgia Tech on Saturday.
Hell yeah.
You want to knock Notre Dame off the map. So you got to think the way you do with the NCAA tournament when you're looking at the bubble. Like, the committee's not going to sit around and say, all right, we're going to pick the number of teams we think are worthy of the playoff. We don't care the number. No, it's 12. They're picking 12. And you're competing not just against what your record's going to be, but against the records of other teams.
Absolutely. Great point. Seth Emerson, great job. Follow him, guys. He covers the Dogs and the SEC for The Athletic. We appreciate it. Enjoy the game this weekend.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.